Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 2. And we've now begun a journey through Daniel. And I approached this with fear and trepidation as we got into it. Daniel is a very, very filled book with so many things, so much truth, so much to really try to condense, to get down to the meat or the bones and get rid of the, you know, not that any of it's not important, but just try to hone in and asking the Lord each service to give wisdom. You'll notice again tonight what we're going to see is background information, so to speak. We're leading up to something. God begins in chapter 1 to build the book of Daniel to take us down, and we'll see an abrupt change coming on what's happening in Daniel. We've dealt with chapter 1, and that's very familiar to us, the carrying away of the Jewish lads and their stand and all that God did there through Daniel and his friends, delivering them from having to eat the king's meat, and they surviving on pulse. You say, what's pulse? Probably not anything we'd want to eat. Vegetable, probably. Probably some kind of meal. But they were very happy to do that. They were allowed to keep their vow to the Lord. And so now we come to chapter 2. We end chapter 1 with this. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. That's just a little mental note that God gives us, because later we're going to see King Cyrus. Chapter 2, and in the second year, now this is a lengthy portion, so stay with me as we read. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone before from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. They said, king, you're way out of line. Nobody's ever asked this. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. They said, hey, no man on this earth can do what you said. That's the kind of thing only the gods know. We'll talk about that. Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Daniel and his fellows are counted part of the wise men now of Babylon. They're counselors to the king now, so they're included in this thing. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. They came to get Daniel and his friends. But Daniel talks to this man, Arioch. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Daniel said, what's going on? He explains it to him. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel goes into the king and he says, hey, just give me some time. I will tell you what your dream is and means. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to, notice the names here, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Not the Babylonian names. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons, and he removeth the kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. I have found a man. Well, okay. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. Amen. That revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. For thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes it shall make known the interpretation to the king, and thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Father, bless us. We look into this story, this account of what happened with Daniel and the king, and how you're working in this situation, and how your hand is seen in all of it. And Lord, as we look to your word, might we understand, know, and never forget, there is a God in heaven. Help us tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts through these truths that we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title is simple. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. You see, the scene we find here in the opening of chapter 2 is, for the people of God, the Jews, a very dismal scene. You see, Jerusalem lay in ruins. Solomon's temple has been reduced to a pile of rubble. The people of Judah have been carried off or captive by the army of Babylon. The sacred vessels of their temple have been taken by King Nebuchadnezzar and put into the temple of his gods. It's not a good day for the Jews. But as we read chapter 2 and come to verse 28, we find the faith-filled, inspiring words of Daniel as he declares, even in this situation, there is a God in heaven. The situation of the Jews had led the Babylonians, you see, to think that Jehovah, the God of the Jews, was very weak and inept. Why would they think such a thing? Well, God had allowed them, the Babylonians, to conquer these people, to destroy their temple, to pillage their city. And they said their God can't be very powerful. But as we read the book of Daniel, we find that God demonstrates just the opposite time after time to these Babylonians. In our text, we find God's first demonstration of His supreme sovereignty and power being displayed to King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, God works now by revealing to Daniel what the Babylonian gods could not reveal to the king, to his wise men. Why? His own wise men said, the interpretation and knowledge of the king's dream could not be known by any man, but only by the God whose dwelling is not of flesh. Here we find what their gods could not do, Daniel's God did. And so tonight we learn that there is a God in heaven, our God, God Almighty. And no matter what transpires in our lives, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we see the truth that He will hear our prayers. He's able to hear and supply our every need. Listen, no matter how dismal things get, there's a God in heaven we can put our faith and complete trust in. So let's look at this account. Let's see what brings us to this. To Daniel rehearsing before the king, there is a God in heaven. In verses 1 through 13, we find a problem in the palace. There's a problem in the palace. It's a disturbing dream. We see the king's agitation here. He dreamed dreams, he said, that troubled him. Now, apparently, this is one dream that recurred over and over, because in one place he says he dreamed dreams, another place he said he had a dream, and I'm thinking, like, some of us have had the experience where you dream a bad dream and it wakes you. That's what happened to him. It took his sleep from him, he said. And then he went back to sleep. And he dreamed the same dream again. You ever had that happen? I believe that's what happened to him. It robbed him of his sleep. He believed that whatever this dream was, it had great significance. You see, the Babylonians put a lot of significance on dreams. They studied dreams. They had books on how to interpret dreams. They even figured out ways to induce dreams. I guess eat too much pizza before you go to bed. Now, their methodology was wrong, but here God did actually reveal himself to this pagan in a dream. So understand, this wasn't just a haphazard eat too much pizza dream. This was something God was doing in the heart and mind of a heathen king. You say, wait a minute, why is God dealing with a heathen? This isn't the first time God has dealt with a heathen to bring about what he's bringing about. Remember Joseph? He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Remember in the story of Gideon, the Midianite soldier who had a dream? So it's not unusual for God to give dreams to heathen people, and sometimes to his people, in the Old Testament. And this is one of those occasions. So he has this dream, and he wakes up, and there's a little bit of dispute over this, but it looks like he couldn't remember the dream. He knew it was a bad dream. He knew it woke him up. He knew he had it a couple of times, but apparently he says the dream was gone from him. Some people think he couldn't remember it. Some people think he didn't have the dream anymore. He had had it, and that was it. And I can't say positively one way or the other. But that's really not that important. The important thing is, he knew there was significance in this dream. He wanted to know what it meant. And so we find that he calls his advisors. Verse 2. And look who he calls. The magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. To show the king his dreams. And so he sends for those that he puts his stock in. These are his wise men. The magicians are a group of scribes who were responsible to record and keep all the secrets of the Chaldean religion. Spooky. The astrologers refers to the practice of incantations, chantings, and magic spells. The sorcerers are those who deal in the occult arts of necromancy, witchcraft, evil spirit communication, etc. And the Chaldeans are a priestly order of the mystery religions. You know, we could just group them all together and say, he called in the New Agers. He called in the believers in the occult. They were his advisors. And in verse 3, he gives them an assignment. He said, I dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. And in verse 4, these men respond positively, confidently. Tell us the dream, we'll tell you what it meant. This wasn't unusual for them. They were the interpreters of dreams. If somebody had a dream and they wanted to know what it meant, they went to them. King, just tell us. But notice there's a dismaying demand here. Verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made of dung. Here's what the king said. Apparently he don't remember the dream, but he says, I don't want you just to interpret my dream. You have to tell me what the dream was. Now, many would interpret dreams. Nobody was ever required to tell somebody what they dreamed. But now the king says you have to do it, or it's your head. You die. That's the demand. You tell me the dream and what it means, or you and all your cronies are dead meat. I am going to have you wiped off the face of the earth. Listen, we're talking about times when kings were despots. They ruled with this iron hand. Many times they acted in just heinous ways. Very demanding. So he makes this demand. But he reminds them, hey, if you're successful, you're going to be rewarded in a great way. Verses 5 and 6. These wise men are confronted. Not only did he tell them what he expected. Look at verse 7. So they repeat to the king, well, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means in verse 7. But the king's on to him. He said, oh no, I'm no fool. Look at verse 8. He said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time. Because the thing is, what he's saying is, you would stall and buy time until I forgot about it. Verse 9. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you that you have prepared, lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. He said, I know what's going to happen. You're stalling for time, and then later on you're going to come in here with some bunch of garbage. You're going to think I forgot all about it and give me a bunch of lies. No, 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 we're not going to do that. He's calling their bluff. Dismaying demand. They're confronted by the king. He's on to them. Then he brings to them that if they were true discerners, they would be able to tell him the dream. If they could understand secret things, they would know both the dream and the interpretation thereof. You know, I couldn't help but think about the charlatans of today who claim to be fortune tellers and palm readers and tarot card readers and all this kind of thing. You know, the Long Island medium and on and on we could go about they know things that... Let me ask you this question. If they really, really, really know things like that, why is their knowledge limited? I come around Route 22. I'm sure you have, and many of you have come down Route 22 across from the mall over there, Phillipsburg Mall. And there's a sign out there, psychic readings, I think it says. It's a little old house, you know, sitting there. And I'm thinking, if this person's really psychic, why aren't they a billionaire? Why don't they know what lottery number is going to hit tomorrow? Why don't they know who's going to win the Super Bowl and bet on it? Isn't it interesting they have very limited knowledge? For someone who's supposed to be in touch with all knowledge. I always wondered why. Can you imagine somebody going to one of these people and you sit down and they say, what are you here for? If you know, then you should already know why I'm here. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor, I always get a kick out of this. You go to the doctor and he said, well, what's the matter? Well, that's why I came to you. You tell me. Well, then there's a big cop out. Verse 10, where they tell the kings, nobody but the gods can do what you're commanding. No man. It's unheard of. It's humanly impossible. And then they said to the king, I can't get over their audacity to say to him, there is no precedent for this kind of requirement. No magician, no astrologer, nobody has ever been required to do this. And then they said, King, this kind of thing is only possessed by the gods. And I thought that was interesting. These are soothsayers, et cetera, supposed to be in touch with these gods. And yet they're saying to the king, we can't get that information. So there's a disturbing dream, there's a dismaying demand, now there's a despotic decree. They're going to die if they don't take care of this. Now, we get down here a little ways and we find the pleas of the prophet. The king's now decreed, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to die in verse 13. Then Daniel answered, and notice this, with counsel and wisdom. I'm not going to develop that, but I want you to just get in your mind. Daniel didn't just fly off the handle. He used counsel and wisdom. He didn't panic. He didn't listen. He didn't react to the situation. Before he did anything, he sought the facts in a proper way. Why is this happening? When Ariel came, he didn't just blow up in his face and say, it's wrong, blah, 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 I don't agree with everything. You know, listen, before you act or react, get the facts. He wasn't hot-headed. He wasn't judgmental. He said in a respectful way, and Daniel did the same thing with the eunuch, chapter 1. He had kept himself under control, and he said to Arioch, what's going on? And he told him. And so he petitions the king. He says to the king, now, we don't have all every step that took place here. He talked to Arioch. Apparently, Arioch went to the king and got him an audience with the king. We know nobody just walked in and talked to the king. So we understand that. So the king, he comes to the king in verse 16, and he says to the king, excuse me, give me an opportunity. Let me have some time. You know, that's a pretty bold request for Daniel. And don't take lightly that he went to the king and said, just give me some time. Now understand, he don't know what the king's dream is or what it means yet. Stay with me. Daniel doesn't have any idea what the king dreamed or what it meant yet. But he knows what the king is demanding, and he knows if it's not fulfilled, it's a death sentence. He knows there's a lot on the line here. Not only his life, the life of his friends, and the life of all these wise men hanging in the balance here. There's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders here. But listen, Daniel believed by faith that God would enable him to interpret the, to tell the king the dream and to interpret the dream. He didn't have any doubt in his mind when he went to the king and he said, give me some time, my God can answer. So Daniel, the Bible says, I like this in verse 17, we find his request to his friends. He goes home, and he makes the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. Now, get this. These are four spiritual men. Four men who walked with God. Four men who knew the power of God. Four men dedicated to God. And Daniel goes back to these men that he knows walk with God. He knows these are men who can get in touch with God. By the way, when you're in a bad situation, that's who you need to be seeking out. Now, Daniel was going to pray, but Daniel didn't pray by himself. We can't pray by ourselves? No, I'm not saying that. We can pray by ourselves, but I want you to know there's power in uniting others with our prayers. I remember when Peter was in jail and they all met over at Mark's mother's house. What were they doing there? They were all together praying for Peter to get out of jail. And then, like us, they were amazed when he did. But see, he requested his friends to pray with him. He sought the prayer support of other people, those who couldn't get a hold of God. And then look at his request. Verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He came seeking God's mercies. Listen, when you're seeking mercy, you are not demanding. You are begging. I get irritated when I hear preachers who say, you know, demand this. Well, they don't say demand. They say, tell God this and tell God that and expect God this and expect God. Hey, wait a minute. Everything we receive from God is by His grace and by His mercy. Now, I believe wholeheartedly we can claim His promises. We can remind Him, God, you said, I'm just claiming your promises. But we have no right to demand anything of God. And he understood that this was something only God could provide. But they believed he would provide. And so they unite in prayer and they come to God in prayer. And they begin to beg God. Now, I don't see here where it says how soon God showed them. But I'm assuming it was that very night. Because it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. So now, they're praying, and I don't know if they're praying all night or if they pray and go to sleep and God gives Daniel a vision. I don't know which one it was. But that night, a night, God came to Daniel and he showed him what he needed to know. Something only God could do. And then I like this. The provision is provided, verses 19 through 23. Daniel and his friends get this. Daniel gets the revelation. He shares it with his friends. And notice the first thing he does. Hey, Daniel didn't get up from his knees. Daniel didn't awake from that sleep or come away from that night where God gave him the vision and run to the king first thing. First thing he did was praise God. Look what he did. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And he went on to recite things about God, and he revealed the deep and secret things. And Daniel is just having a hallelujah fit over what God did for him. When's the last time you had a hallelujah fit? Oh, I'm just not that way. I'm more proper than that. But let the Eagles quarterback throw a long touchdown pass and you're not so refined. Listen, I remember Dr. Jack Howes talking about he would go back to his motel room after preaching a meeting and people got saved and God did wonderful things. And he said there were times that God just moved in such a way he would get so blessed by God. He would go to his bed and jump on his bed like a little kid. Just praising God. He said, "Oh, that's Pentecostal. That's ridiculous." Hey, if he wants to do that, have at it, man. He said one time the motel people came and knocked on his door, wanted to know if everything was okay. They heard a bunch of racket going on in there. Listen, did you ever just get so filled with God you just got to praise him? Did you ever just get such an answer from God to your prayers you just had to, "Oh, thank you, God." We've lost it. We've lost a lot of our praise. We've let the Pentecostal steal a lot of our shout and our joy. You know, it's okay when God blesses you in the church house to say, "Amen! Hallelujah!" When I was down south, boy, you know, everybody down there used to say, "Well, you know, those churches up north, they're dead. They're dead as 4 o'clock. You know why they think that? Because you go down south and people say, "Hey, hallelujah, praise God." You know, they'll get up and slap their Bible or something. They got a little excitement to them. But you come up north and everybody's more refined. No, you're just graveyard dead. Get excited about what God's doing in your life. Get excited about he let you get out of bed this morning. You know, some people couldn't do that. Get excited about he put food on your table, put a roof over your head. Get excited about he's using you, that you can witness to somebody and they get saved on the Disney bus. Where's our excitement? Where's our joy? Where's our praise? We come to church on Sunday and we see people come to an altar and the Holy Spirit deal with people and people get saved. And we're, "Well..." You got to get excited about that. I said this morning in our Sunday school, I said, "Wouldn't it be terrible to go to a church where nothing ever happens?" Yes, amen. We've heard Pastor Fedena recite, and we went to that church a year or so after he went to Faith Baptist Church in Fairless Hills. But when he went there, when they called him to be the pastor, I don't know, they were running maybe 50 people, but nobody had walked the aisle in that church for any reason for 7 years. 7 years. And we come to church and we see people walk out and get baptized and get saved and we just hold on. Where's your praise? First thing Daniel did was, boy, he got excited about what God did. Look at verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom and might, hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. The provision was provided, and we have a God who can answer prayer. Then we see the presentation to the potentate. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. He went back to that Arioch guy. He said, hey, I got the answer. God gave it to me. Take me before the king so I can share it with him. The approach is through Arioch. And it's interesting. Over there in, let's see what verse it is. 25. Arioch brings Daniel into the king now. Daniel says, hey, take me to the king. I'm going to tell him what the dream was, what it means. Arioch says, let's go. So he takes him to the king. I love how Arioch introduces himself. I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king. You know, like, king, look what I did. I found your answer for you. He didn't find anything. It found him. But it's not unlike people to try to take credit for something they don't deserve. But then we see the answer is bold. Daniel says, well, in verse 26, the king addresses him. He says, hey, can you tell me? He said, sure. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath desired or demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show him? Hey, king, remember, here's what he's saying. King, remember, your guys couldn't tell you. All those wise men who are in touch with your gods couldn't tell you. But look what he says next. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Oh, his answer is very bold. He said, hey, king, your guys couldn't do it, but I have a God who can. Now notice, he didn't take credit for him. He says there in the next verse, what I'm about to tell you is not from me. What I'm about to tell you came directly from God, whom I represent, the God, the one and only God, Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you what he told me. Verse 29, this dream is prophetic. He says, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. He said, king, your dream was from God. And he's given you a dream showing you what lies ahead. Daniel says, this wasn't for my glory. Verse 30. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. This is not for my glory, and I don't have anything other men have other than my God. This isn't me. This is him. He says, but for their sakes shall make known the interpretation to the king. Thou mightest know the thoughts of the heart. Daniel's also saying this. King, you offered a lot of rewards. I'm not interested in your rewards. I didn't do this to get what you promised. I did this because there's a lot at stake here. That thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, and that the ones you sentenced to death would not have to die. He said, I didn't do this to gain any reward. This has nothing to do with me. He said, I did this, number one, for those who are hanging in the balance. Isn't that a picture of Jesus? Put it all on the line for those who are condemned to die. And then he says, and I did it because God wants you to know something. This is a message to you from God. And I'm to bring it to you. You know, again, this is kind of informational, if you will, of what's happening. Because we're building. We're going through the book of Daniel, and we're going to see the sequence here of what's going on. Next time, we're going to see the dream. Many of you have already read it. You know what he dreamed. And we're going to see what that dream meant. And we're going to see how God now is giving King Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, a timeline. A timeline of exactly what's going to happen. I said last time that the prophecies of Daniel, and these are just the beginning. Somebody said these are the ABCs of prophecy. Just the beginning. You know, when you go to first grade, you learn the alphabet. Huh? Later you learn how to put the letters together and form words and write and all that. But you learn the ABCs. These are the ABCs of prophecy. This is the baby stuff. But as it goes, Daniel gets into the heavy stuff. And that's the trip we're taking. And this is all background, so we know what's going on and how's it happening. And how did God work in this situation where the Jews are carried off from Jerusalem and Judah and they're captive and the temple is destroyed and now they're in Babylon for 70 years and everything looks so bleak and so dark and so hopeless. And yet God is in control of every step of it. Working out his plan and his purpose. See, many times we get into situations and we find ourselves just like these Jews. It all looks bad. Everywhere we look, it looks bad. But there is a God in heaven. One more thing. I'm glad that Daniel did not shrink from his responsibility. You see, God had called him to take a message to this heathen king by interpreting this dream. He did not shrink from that. He was obedient. He did exactly what God told him to do. There was a lot on the line. He could have been executed. But he did what God told him to do by faith. He took the message. And I want to remind you that we likewise have been called of God, assigned an assignment as the ambassadors for Christ, as we talked about in Sunday school, to take his message to the heathen, to the unsaved. We have a responsibility before Almighty God to be obedient. I'm glad Daniel didn't shrink from his responsibility, but how many of us have shrunk from our responsibility? How many believers have failed to take that message God has given to us, that wonderful message of salvation, to a lost and dying world that we identify, and I'm not being unkind, as heathen? They need to hear. God has a message for them. God had a message for Nebuchadnezzar. He needed to hear, and he had a man that he ordained. Hey, take the message. These people out here who don't know Christ need to hear, and God has ordained messengers to go, and that's us. How shall they hear without a preacher, Romans says. Listen, they're never going to get saved till somebody takes the message. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How did you get saved? Somebody was faithful to bring the message. Somebody didn't shirk their responsibility. Somebody did what they were supposed to do and shared the gospel with you. And the Holy Spirit touched your heart and you came to Christ. And you see, that's exactly what we're supposed to do for others. Friends, neighbors, co-workers, loved ones, people we encounter. Well, I'm not real good at talking to people. Well, give them a try. I don't know if I could do that. God would never call you to do something you cannot do. Amen. And you would be amazed at what just a little word of witness can do. Amen. Sometimes just that one thing you say can be the very thing that will ponder, somebody will ponder in their heart. Bring them to Christ. You being faithful? You taking the message? Oh, you're always talking about soul winning and telling people about Jesus. Yeah, because the Bible says we're supposed to do it. And too many believers aren't doing it. If you're glad you're saved, hold your hand up. Yeah, we're so glad we're saved. But listen, God didn't just save us to be glad we're saved. He saved us because there's a bunch of other people out there who need to get saved. And he says, I need an army to go out there and take this message around the world. That's our job. Daniel had a great responsibility put on him. He was a man who walked with God, and he shouldered that responsibility and did exactly what God told him to. And he saw the miraculous happen. He got an answer that could only come from God. You know, we talk about dare to be a Daniel. That's what we need to do. There is a God in heaven. The true God, the one God, the all-powerful God, the almighty God, the one who can and do, the miraculous, he's there. We need to avail ourselves of him. Just like Daniel did. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for Daniel. Thank you for his willingness to be obedient to you, to put it all on the line. Thank you. He was a man of character, would not back down, would not back up, but stayed faithful and true to you, to your word, to your will. Thank you that he was willing to take that message that you had for this heathen king. Lord, we know there was a lot on the line and it could have cost him dearly. But he was obedient. And he took the message. Help us as believers to have that kind of character. To have that kind of desire to please you and serve you. To have that kind of a burden for those who are under the condemnation of sin. That we'll take the message. That one message that comes from the God in heaven that will save their soul. Speak to us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.